There with business news. Do precious metals, the type that New Zealand has scooped up at the Comm Games, actually convert into money in the back pocket of athletes? Cyclist Aaron Gate has bagged a wheel-spinning 4 golds across track and road cycling, the first Kiwi to achieve that haul at a Commonwealth Games. Right behind him, Elise Andrews, another cyclist, she's won 3 golds. Unlike the Olympics, athletes don't get excellence or performance grants for making it onto the podium at these Commonwealth Games. So what are the financial opportunities does a medal bring? Well, joining us now from Auckland University's Business School is Associate Professor Bodo Lang. Kia ora, Bodo.
Kia ora, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks. Can you stick a money value on a gold medal, do you think? And what would it be?
It's very hard to do because it just depends on the whole raft of factors. There's no really hard research on this, but in a New Zealand context, I would say there's at least a 6-figure sum attached to a medal. But it's really hard to be really precise about this because it depends on a whole raft of different factors. But it has a financial worth because it makes the athlete more attractive to potential sponsors, basically.
So you're talking about 100,000K or more?
At least 100,000K, I would say.
And I'm curious about this. If you've got 4 gold medals, are you then worth 4 times 6 figures?
I think that's a great question and a very logical question. Again, I think it depends just on a whole raft of factors. In some ways, you could say, look, it's like a long tail phenomenon. You know, there are only so many people that are super successful. So if you think of swimming, you know, many years ago, there was an American swimmer who was incredibly successful and he really became a superstar. I mean, Aaron Gates, 4 golds, Elise Andrews, 3 golds. You know, that's outstanding. And so I think there's probably a bit of a cumulative effect going on, but I don't know whether it's as simple as adding up 3 times or 4 times what the individual value might be.
So when you talk about a combination of factors, so outside of the actual medal hanging around the person's neck, what determines whether you are able to monetize that?
There's a raft of factors. I mean, from a sponsor's perspective, if you're looking for a spokesperson, you know, an athlete to speak on behalf of your brand, whether it's air conditioning or, you know, whatever your product might be, the one thing that you're really looking forward looking towards is high brand awareness. So ideally, you're looking for an athlete that is known by virtually everybody in New Zealand. So that's the first key factor, high awareness level. The second one is a very high likability, and there's obviously varying levels of likability of various athletes. Some of them are a little bit more competitive and maybe a little bit more blunt with the media. And so, you know, that might cut a little bit into that. But awareness and liking are the first two bases, but there are further factors as well.
Okay, so where does cycling sit in that then? Because the two people we're talking about here are cyclists, and it's not a fringe sport, but it's not one of the you know, most widely followed, you would argue.
No, it's definitely not one of the most widely followed. You know, we've got a couple of really big sports, obviously, rugby, cricket, netball. You know, those are the really big traditional sports. But New Zealand is changing, and it's not the 1980s anymore. So, you know, we are changing and we're becoming more inclusive of different types of sports. So cycling is, I think, one of those transition sports. If you look at how many people own a bicycle, then certainly cycling is one of the most popular sports in New Zealand. But it's not a mass competitive sport just like rugby or cricket or netball might be. But it's certainly becoming more attractive to a lot of people. And that also adds to the value of the athletes because cycling is becoming more of a known thing. It's just a known sport. And so therefore, the heroes of that sport are also becoming more known.
Bodo, you opened the door. You mentioned the All Blacks, right? What do you reckon is happening with the value of their brand right now?
That's a great question, Lisa. I think, you know, if you want to come at this from a storytelling perspective, I think there's nothing like a little bit of a setback to make a fantastic comeback. And I think sports is the perfect context for a great comeback. Nobody really is interested in a brand that, in a sports team that always wins because it actually is detrimental. It becomes just a bit too boring. So I think a bit of a setback, a bit of drama. You know, we've got our antagonists. We've had a few protagonists, you know. So I think we're looking forward to, I think, them improving their performance. And I think if they can do that, then the value of the brand will certainly return. But there's a bit of a dent at the moment.
Thanks for your time, Bodo. That is Associate Professor Bodo Lang from Auckland University's Business School. It is...